would you call yourself a socialist?
No.
You've never told a lie in politics?
No.
See, somebody sent me a video action last Friday and it had you talking at the socialist union.
Oh, yes.
And you mentioned the word comrade about four times in a minute. What was that about?
It was a rally and I would have been about 25 years old.
Comrade.
That was in 2009.
Oh, well, I can't remember which country it was in.
Has it changed since those days?
No, not particularly.
If you are caught in a lie or caught intentionally misleading the New Zealand public, how would you expect to be held to account?
Well, I actually believe that it is possible to exist in politics without lying.
We drum in that messaging around the dangers of COVID pretty diligently for a full 2-week period of sustained propaganda.
How are you doing, mate?
My name is Ron.
Hi, Ron. It's Grant. You've got John and Liz. What would you like to talk about?
Just what's going on in the world. I'm kind of interested in what's going on in Israel, because they're doing a lot of testing and debunking what the U.S. You know, I'm in the U.S. and they're debunking some of the aspects that our government is saying.
I'm trying
to find more information on this. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you carry on, but while you're talking, I've got an item on that right now. You're saying that some of the research that's been going on in Israel that's completely different to what the rest of the world is saying? Is that what you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to add to that?
I think that what they are doing is good. Because it's questioning a lot of things. Here in the U.S., they are just pushing things. They're pushing things. The politicians are just it's like a war, man. And I don't know what to tell you about it. So I'm looking at like New Zealand, Australia, Israel. I'm trying to get information from them. Because they are at the forefront. I mean, obviously, Australia is some kind of testing ground for this, because they're like in a police state. They're trying to test things in New York City, NYC. And it's not good. You know, people are going to rebel back, especially in America. I don't think this is going to happen.
Ron, I'd like to respectfully disagree with you on a few points you were making, and I'm not trying to personally offend you. Israel has one of the highest vaccination rates in the world, and the highest rates of mortality and sicknesses, vaccine shedding, that kind of thing that's going on. There may be some parts of the culture, the country, that are trying to fight back. With science, with good science. And so we don't want to condemn all doctors and virologists, because there are many out there that are trying to help, but they're fighting a monster as well. It's a worldwide monster called Big Pharma. Okay. So Big Pharma has all this power. And in America, where we live, there's a law, United States Code Title 43, subparagraph 300AA, I believe. And in that, it's a simple, basically one statement. Pharmaceutical companies do not have any civil liability for vaccine injuries or death since 1988. That one law, if the people would rise up to the politicians and put pressure upon them from the bottom up, millions of us, repeal this law and take away the shield that the pharmaceutical companies have been under or behind for the last 30 years, whatever it's been, then the people that have been injured in the past and families that have had members killed can leap upon them with a great joy and financial vengeance, which is the only thing they understand, because they're all about power and money, and strip away their power through untold millions of lawsuits, millions of them. And we're hearing some cases of the young people there in New Zealand, Australia, America, same thing. where young people are having heart attacks and strokes and aneurysms, unheard of at 12, 14 years old. And now they're trying to jab the children down to five. I have a five-year-old granddaughter. And so, anyway, some resources for you, Ron. America's Frontline Doctors, Dr. Simone Gold, great leader in this movement to fight this this wicked genocide. It's a worldwide genocide that's being orchestrated by the elite, and as we were saying earlier, by the prince of the power of the air, who is the devil, Satan. These things are latter days type things the Bible has predicted thousands of years ago. So I encourage you, if you're not a Christian, to seek the Lord Jesus for forgiveness for yourself, and seek out the truth about these matters that you might have protection from the Lord and protection from the system that wants to kill us all. Basically, what's the motive? To kill us all. That's the motive. The Bible says the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And so his motive is, he's going to hell because he was in the presence of God and rebelled against him and brought a third of the angels in the same foolery. And now the devil has fooled most of mankind, and he's the Pied Piper to hell. And he's fooled them with money and power and greed and avarice, and these things are things that God hates. And people are dying because of this greed. And then there's cowardly people. And the Bible says in Revelation 21, the cowardly and unbelieving will be damned. And it's very descriptive, in the book of Revelation. Mm-hmm. Cowardly, they're so afraid of losing their job. They're afraid that somebody might think ill of them. They're afraid that their family member might not like them anymore. And they're afraid of the truth. And Ron, Jesus Christ said about himself, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one enters the kingdom of God except through me. So I encourage you, Ron, to really seek after him. He, there's a hope beyond the grave, whatever happens to each of us. There's a hope for life eternal in a place where a good king rules and a good king provides for us and he looks over us and shepherds us. But the kings of the earth, if you read in Psalms, Psalm 2, and Brother Grant, maybe you could read that, or the Psalm 2 talks about the kings of the earth, and they don't want to be bound by the chains of morality. They don't want to be bound by the law of God that says, love your neighbor as yourself. And I find it very, very hyper-hypocritical that these lawmakers, and we have it coming forth in America now, that the lawmakers here are saying that they don't have to take the vaccines and they don't have to wear masks because they have to make laws and they can't do it with those things in place. And so they're setting themselves apart from the very wicked laws they're imposing upon us that are harming our children, our grandchildren, our countrymen, and expecting no one to rise up. Now, you mentioned, Ron, you mentioned in America we'll fight. I respectfully disagree with that. America's lazy and apathetic, and until America wakes up, they're going to do no such thing. They'll all be dead before they fight. We're under, as I was mentioning, a doctor from Trinidad Tobago saying that this is not an experimental jab. This is biological and chemical warfare. The communist Chinese on the doorstep of Australia and New Zealand, they want Taiwan. They took Hong Kong a year ago and nobody said a word. They were crying out to Trump a year and a half ago, excuse me, crying out to Trump, Trump save us, and Trump didn't help. And so you're saying, and we have a Justice for J6 coming up here in D.C., and they're already putting the fences up around the Capitol again. And they're going to bring the National Guard back in again, right, to bring their bodyguards, their military. And Liz was mentioning earlier about, we're going to have military tribunals like Nuremberg. I hope so. The military swears an oath, and I believe every nation's military does this, the Western free nations. They have an oath that the military member swears to support and defend the Constitution or the Crown, the law, basically, support and defend the Constitution, the Queen, from enemies, foreign and domestic. Okay, so internal enemies as well. The problem with America and many nations is we don't recognize the internal enemies that are here amongst us. I've said a few years ago that the Democrats who have been pushing and promoting the killing of unborn children for 40, 50 years now, pushing it, promoting it while people have been standing around like that's normal. That is not normal to kill our progeny. It's not normal to kill our children in the mother's wombs. That damages them. So I'm sorry to be so chatty, Rhonda. Would you like to respond to some of the things I said? Is Ron there?
Yeah.
Ron's there. I'm here. I'm just kind of contemplating.
Absorbing
what's
it.
What's going on in the world?
Are you there, Ron?
So this pandemic, whatever it is, it's a forceful control, is it not?
Yes.
We do not even know if there is a virus. We don't even know if these vaccines work. We don't. We are basing our knowledge off of what they are telling us. And that is very risky. It is. How do we interpret? I'm looking at a lot of news, alternative news, people on here speaking, and some people, they're all for the shot. They're all for the shot. And other people are like, no, I'm not going to get it. There are things, there are ingredients in the shot. They're very, very vile things that you do not want in your body in these shots. And it's a serious concern. It really is. And so I have not gotten the shot. I'm not going to get it. I am prone to getting reactions, even with, if I go to the dentist, I get Novocaine shot. I could be passed out on the floor. I don't know. Mm. You know, I have a tendency to do this. I don't know why, but I'm scared to get it. Seriously.
It seems that everybody reacts differently, don't they? You know, like some people, they can have a shot or a double shot and they're fine. They don't seem to have any effects. And then the next person will be with people have just died right there and then, and others have been felt really ill. And it's all over the world. It's wherever this vaccine, and it's not just the Pfizer, it's all of them. As John said, it is a bioweapon. I'd like to play you, if you don't mind. Liz, did you just want to add to that? Sorry, you've been a bit quiet.
Ron was saying that we don't know if there is a virus. I would say definitely there is not a virus.
Mm.
We've had Official Information Act requests go in New Zealand and come back from the government saying, no, we don't have any paperwork that says, you know, anything about it being isolated. You know, that their answers are a little less involved than that, but that is the long and short of it, that there is no virus. And so if you say anything about that, it's very hard, apart from social media, to talk about it, because there's absolute shutdown of all information on mainstream media in New Zealand.
Yep.
But New Zealanders and Australians are fighting back, Ron. And I think in New Zealand we have got a very good chance. We're only 5 million people. And you cannot keep the lid on it in this country, not in a country this small. So take hope. And, of course, as John was saying, take hope in the name of Jesus Christ, and, you know, we will win this. We've, you know, the vaccine passport is alive and well in this country. I'm working on with the border workers. And I've seen under the mandatory regime, under the order, I've studied it pretty closely. And, yes, they have, the plan is that everybody will have a vaccination status and every employer will have to hold a register. Just to brighten up the horizon a little, we are working on heading back on that, because a lot of the employers have been fed the line that they're, you know, they're so brave and you know, they're fighting the good fight by making sure that the employees are vaccinated. However, what hasn't come to their attention is that they should stop acting like they are Dr. Kildare and start realising that their actual duty under the Health and Safety Acts in New Zealand is to make sure that they have a safe workplace. To this end, they are supposed to have what's called a risk management plan. And they can be fined $100,000 for not having a risk management plan. So we're doing a little bit of a tease of them, actually, and pointing out to them, oh, where's your risk management plan? And they say things like, oh, but we are doing risk management. We're testing our employees, etc., which, of course, is a breach of their employment contracts with their employees. However, they are finally starting to wake up to the fact that they might have been all fooled, because I got somebody to call up the WorkSafe, which is the people who administer the Health and Safety at Work Act here, and to ask about if you didn't have a risk management plan. And people got sick in the workplace, what should they do? And they were told by WorkSafe that they should call 105, which is our crime line, okay? Mm. It's not crime that's immediately being committed, but it's, a crime, an ongoing crime. So WorkSafe have the view that employees – should be, if they know their employer doesn't have a risk management plan, which of course none of them have, that they should call the police. So I think it would be quite a good tactic to do, actually, because then the employers would stop looking would start looking for ways to deny that there is such a thing as the virus, and would open their eyes to the fact that that they are not going to be the ones who are top dog, because they've already been told by the state, these are the people you will employ and these are the people you won't employ.
Can I interject a question for you quick on the risk management plan? I'd heard this on another show I wasn't part of, and you're talking to Grant. Could you send me a snippet of that in an email or something? I'm sure we have a parallel law with OSHA here. And yes. I think it relates to the root of them proving that there's a COVID virus in the workplace. And that's how we can kind of tease them, as you were saying, or get them to admit, well, we don't really have COVID viruses to show you. Therefore, if we don't have any COVID viruses in the workplace, why are we going through all of these things? Is that about right?
That's correct, and I have written the email for the document, if you like, or the email that people can send to their employer, saying, "Employer, you're wanting me to get a vax, But how about you prove first that you've got COVID in the workplace, right?
Yes, and that was the line of thinking that I was wanting to find out more.
So I've only developed it in the last couple of days. So it has, and we're at the weekend now, so it hasn't had a run, but I think it's going to work.
Are you going to get vaccinated? I think I want to wait a bit longer. What do you need to wait? I'm just not in a rush to get it, mate. Have you had it? Yeah, I've had it. Why are you being so selfish? How am I being selfish? Because if you get COVID, you can pass it on to me. But you've been vaccinated. Yeah, but I can still get it. So if I get vaccinated, I can still get it too. Yeah, but you should still get it because then you won't pass it on to me. But if I get vaccinated, I can still get it and still pass it on to you. Well, yeah, but you should still get it. But you can catch it off me whether I've been vaccinated or not. Yeah, but you should still get vaccinated. But why? Because it's the right thing to do. Who says? The people that make it.
Yeah, so Ron, some good media resources are Brighteon.
Okay.
.com. That's Bright in Eon after that. Brighteon.
Yeah.
And also Natural News. And I would get on Gab or Getter.
Yeah,
and
I'm trying.
BitChute, and Rumble is the other video.
Rumble, yeah, definitely.
And you'll find all kinds of great resources and stuff. And one of my favorite, where I like to get some of my factoids from, is the Stu Peters Show. Stu Peters.
Oh,
TV.
Yeah.
Or StuPeters.com. I listen to at least one of his shows a day. I try to because that's where I got that the latest. That doctor from Trinidad and Tobago. So wonderfully
phenomenal.
Communicated information.
Yeah, Ron, have you got anything else you'd like to add? Anything at all?
You're very professional, so I need to be professional.
Oh, no, we're not. This is our first, this is our first go. So,
I don't want to say things that
John's very professional.
Compromise.
We're not.
Because, but yeah, man, we need to be the best. We need to be the forefront of whatever's going to happen. We need to
well,
be
that's great, mate.
This, yeah. this, we need to.
Yeah. Lock Ron, on. if you can Fuck. Look for stuff, look for information, and bring it to us on Saturday night. Bring it to us whenever, and we'll put you on, and you can tell us what you found out. So you'll be our eyes and ears out there, and to help show the people and wake them up. So you know we need you.
All right, that's cool, man. I respect you, man.
Thanks.
I love you, James.
Thanks very much.
To your
really
podcast.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate that.
And
we love you
very
too.
Very good. Very good. Bless you, man.
Yeah. Thank you. John wanted me to read Psalms 2, so I'll do that now if that's okay. John, is that appropriate for me to read that now?
Yes. That's great.
Okay, so Psalms chapter 2, if you just open your Bible in the middle, you'll pop open at Psalms. And as it's not palms, and as the president of the regime in America, the occupied America, it's not the book of palms, it is the book of Psalms. It's Psalms chapter 2, and I'm reading from the King James Version because I like it. And it says here, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh." That's God, sits and laughs at us. "The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure? Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion." That's Jerusalem, isn't it, John? It would be Israel. "And I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day hath I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." So that includes all of the Antarctica area, right around the rim. Mm, right. "Thou shalt break them with a cord of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. And that's Psalms chapter 2. Amen. So that's a pretty scary stuff too, isn't it? As well as
scary, blessing. Scary for them, for sure.
And for the heathens.
One comment real quick about that, brother, if I might, and that is that the greater authority that a person has within a government or educational system or medical system, the greater authority they have, like the governor and the president or the chancellor or premier, whoever they are, whatever country, whatever nation, the greater responsibility. And because of that greater responsibility, if they conduct themselves unlawfully before God, they have a greater condemnation. And
just the regular old
blue collar Joe, you know, he lives his life in his darkness, loves his sin, loves to go to the pub and have a pull, and he dies and he still goes to hell for rejecting Jesus Christ. But then you have the guys who seek out the power of the devils, the witches, the warlocks, the politicians, many of them, they have such huge responsibility before God. Pastors, false teachers. In Peter, it talks about it's a Greek word called Tartarus. The only time it's used in the Bible, and it's described as the lowest. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how do you spell that, John? Yes. Tartarus.
Yeah, T-A-R-T-A-R-U-S.
Tartarus. Okay, got that. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that is the worst part of hell where devils and false teachers go. And many people, unfortunately, will think the devil's in charge of hell. Now, God kindles the fires of Tophet. God kindles the fires of hell. Our God is a consuming fire. And because he's holy, he commands and demands holiness from each individual. And then individually, we press this out into our culture and our people and press it up the chain of command, right?
Hmm.
I hadn't shared yet. May I share for a minute?
Absolutely, John. The floor is yours. The mic is yours.
Sorry. Yesterday we were preaching at the University of Kentucky. And they had just gotten done last 4 years building this beautiful, monstrous student center. I suppose tens of millions of dollars at least, maybe more. And so we're going through there, kind of exploring. I never really spent much time inside, but without masks, of course. And of course, they have a mandate to put your mask on. Mm. And while I'm walking through there, or we're walking through there without our mask on, of course, everybody's looking at us weird, we come across the vaccine line. And you know I have to say something. The line is 50 or 60 feet long. So I begin to talk to people to warn them, don't take this shot. It's deadly. It's poison. You won't be able to undo it.
Good for you. You're brave.
Yeah. And the technicians came over, began to tell me I had to leave. It's a private university. I said, what? My taxpayer money comes here every year to fund this monster. No, this is a public university and I have every right to be here. Well, you need to put your mask. No, I don't. I have a religious exemption and a health exemption. I don't need to wear a mask. And who are you to tell me what to do?
Exactly.
Then I had a young black woman get up. She put her breast on me, rebuking me, telling me that I had to leave. Yeah. She came right up on me. I didn't move an inch. And I said, you need to get away from me. You have 6 feet safety barrier according to your ideas. I don't accept it, but you're supposed to stay away from me. And she insisted I had to leave, and this is private, and we couldn't interfere with their business. I said, well, I'm not physically interfering with your business, but I'm telling you that your business is a business of death, and I'm trying to warn them. So she called the police, and I strolled out of there. And so we went out to the place where we typically will preach outside the student center, and the police came out, and so I've got a rather good video, I think, on my Facebook.
Is that on Jesus Preacher?
No, it's on Owen McGlynn. So we got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, went to the abortion clinic in Louisville, and preached there for a couple, 3 hours. And then we went to the university, preached there for, 3 or 4 hours. We had gotten stuck in traffic. There was a fatality on the highway.
They
closed the highway down. And when they do that, there's typically, it's a huge wreck and multiple fatalities. But I was telling the students yesterday, listen, they didn't know they were going to have toe tags. They didn't know they were going to be in a bag that night.
No, they didn't. No, it's terrible. I've just put your Facebook, a link to your Facebook in the chat. Whose phone is that? Is that yours, John? Or Liz? It must be yours, John.
Yeah, my phone is going crazy. Let me hang up and come back.
You grab that. And while you're doing that, I just want to play Dr. What's his name now? Martin, I think his name is. Listen to this guy. He was involved with the bioweapons industry around about the end of about 1999. Have a listen to what he says.
Anthony Fauci has spent, listen to this number, $191 billion. Not 3.7 million, not 30 million, $191 billion of audited funds for the bioweaponization of viruses against humanity. This is a bioweapons program designed to kill us. That's what it is. And it's not just designed to kill us, it's designed to kill massive numbers of the population. We do not have a virus, we have a biological weapon. In 1999, the weaponization of this was actually explicit in the first NIAID grant. And DARPA was involved in this, as were a bunch of other defense agencies. And specifically what was done in 1999 was human lung epithelium was targeted for the first time, because coronavirus was actually pretty innocuous to the majority of human interactions. But human lung epithelium was specifically targeted such that this would become a pathogen to the human lung. We built SARS. Humans built SARS, and U.S. taxpayers paid for it. In 1999, we built a bioweapon. I wrote my first classified briefing on it in 2001. I actually gave the lectures on bioweapons and global security in 2003 in Bled, Slovenia, in 2004 in the Islamic Republic of Iran at the National Bioweapons Conference in Iran. This is a history record that is not new to this conversation. This was known, and we, in 2005, decided to make it a DARPA-funded initiative. 2005.
David Martin, yeah. And there was a longer video where he went into a lot more detail, but I can't find it. Yeah, he went into a lot more detail. He said that about DARPA. The internet. Yeah.
They keep scrubbing the internet. That's what they're doing.
It's gone off TikTok. It was there, and they've deleted. That's what I'm finding, that they're actually deleting stuff. So what I do with TikTok is I download it. But unfortunately, all I got was part of it.
I have to see if I have that one. I don't think I did.
I'll send it to you if you don't.
Hmm.
Yeah, but I had
the longer version.
Oh, the longer version. Yeah, I don't. I'd like to have it because he really went into some details. It was absolutely brilliant. Hey, did I look? I don't know if I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but the Israelis have done some research, which I think Liz was saying that it was Ron actually was saying that our government is just not even listening to your government and our government. They're not listening to this, but they did some research. It was only just come out at the end of last month, and the Maccabi Healthcare and the Tel Aviv University, they compared the outcomes of over 76,000 Israelis in three groups. Did you hear about that?
I did not.
Well, what they did was they had three groups. The first group were doubly vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. The second group had previously had the COVID infection. But they were unvaccinated. And the third group of the 76,000 Israelis, the third group was infected with the COVID infection, and they had a single vaccine of the Pfizer, single dose. So those three groups, they discovered that the immunity acquired through the infection of COVID-19 was superior to immunity from the Pfizer biotech vaccine. And the study also found that fully vaccinated but uninfected people were significantly more likely to have breakthrough infections. So they would actually pass on the infection to others if they've been double vaccinated.
Yeah.
This study demonstrated that natural immunity confers longer lasting and strong protection against the infection, symptomatic disease and hospitalization caused by the Delta variant. They actually mentioned the Delta variant. And then there was another study done in July and I've got the links here as well to these studies. So it's not just a news report. These are from the university. The study essentially highlighted that most recovered COVID-19 patients mount broad, durable immunity after infection, and they don't have any problems.
Right.
Whereas if you have the vaccine, you're on your way out. It's a death sentence.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Are you still with us?
Why I saw,
sorry.
Go ahead, sorry.
Carry on, John. No, go ahead. Tel Aviv University with, I think it's quite a well-known group, Maccabi Healthcare and Tel Aviv University did that. But also another lady, Margaret, let me know that that in San Diego, and I think it's the University of La Jolla or La Jolla or something like that. It looks like a J, yeah. But it's pronounced like
it's La Jolla. That's correct.
La Jolla, yeah. Well, they've got a peer-reviewed study. And it says pretty much the same thing as the one from Tel Aviv. So they've had a terrible death toll, haven't they? And apparently 85% of the people that are in hospital had been vaccinated. And so they were having these breakthrough. They're calling it breakthrough. I call it just a result of the vaccines. They're sick because of the spike proteins.
That's right. And I definitely concur with that. You could also call it vaccine shedding. You know, their sharing of the sicknesses they're having. And of course, this is propagated. It makes me wonder, are they able to shed the spike proteins in the sense that the mRNA is shared, you know, this deformed, perverted mRNA? I know it would be able to be shared through blood serum but could coughing. So the pandemic becomes the actual vaccine that we've been jabbed with. I called it on a blog post I did, vaccidemic. You know, it's a vaccidemic. It's not a pandemic. It's a vaccidemic, a fake pandemic initiated fears worldwide that we said, oh, we all need to get science to save us. When, as these studies you were just mentioning, God's design of the body, the immune system, is very complex. And for mankind to think they have even a 1% understanding of what's going on when God heals a person is astounding pride. You know, for a person to think, oh, yeah, I have at least 1% of all knowledge of healthcare. No, you don't. You don't have a millionth, probably, of what the healthcare God could use with things like colloidal silver or charcoal or red. Not remdesivir, God forbid. hydroxychloroquine, you know, and those are compounds that we found scientifically are safe and effective. 50 years, hydroxychloroquine, the malaria cure, right? Ivermectin is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, the guy that invented ivermectin. And that's based on science and double-blind studies and long periods of time, animal studies and those kinds of things. And that's curative. Ivermectin is curative. And then the bottom line is it's like a 98.5, I think, percent survival rate with no treatment.
99.98 is what I got.
99.9. Oh, okay.
If you're in your 20s, it's 0.9.
Yes.
So it's 99.98. Yeah, if you're younger, 99.97. Yeah, yes. But it's still a fraction of a percent. So you've got
almost no chance of dying, right?
Yeah.
And so probably you might die if you had some kind of other condition that helped that along, you know. But anyway, so here's this fake pandemic, fake boogie monster that scared us all. And part of the scare tactic was the masks. You know, people can't talk. Now they're rebreathing CO2 and bacteria. They can't get oxygen. That's weakening their systems. I mean, where we work, I mean, we work, it's physical. And when you get physical, you're, it'll make you dizzy and you'll start coughing and say, oh, you've got COVID. No, I've got mask. I've got face diaper on.
You've got bacteria.
I've got this respiratory poopy in my face, right?
Mm. It's crazy.
And people don't realize that we're respirating things out of our bodies, exhausting things that need to be exhausted.
That's right.
You know, so, yeah.
That's right. We've got a listener, Johnny. Johnny, did you have anything to add to – what would you like to talk about, Johnny?
COVID is a tool of a political party to try to scare the world into something that it ain't got to be. Why don't you look where Wuhan or whatever the fuck they call it over there in China land, how they like to party and whatnot. It's all cured over there. It just happens to be affecting to be white European countries and whatnot with the lockdown situations. But there's a crisis at the southern border of the United States. And this puppet president that they have down there, they believe that's their president and all. Well, he believes that they don't have to be vaccinated, and they have a measles outbreak amongst them people because, well, they've been living in a Stone Age for so long, but only time will tell will we go to heaven or hell. But I'm going to tell you this. There ain't going to be no COVID that's going to judge the existence of my life or the future of my children, because if you want to get right down to it, I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't nothing but a hoax. It's a political ploy so they can keep you at home, cast your votes from mail-in ballot. But I'm not going to let them dictate my future nor the future of my children. And I have firearms that I'm ready. I got a fucking itchy finger, and I don't hunt deer. You feel me?
Johnny, can I ask you a question, Johnny? This is John from Kentucky. Where are you from?
It don't matter where I'm from.
Well, I'm just trying to get the general region. You don't have to tell me your town.
I'm from the world. I'm from the world.
I could tell. Yeah, I could tell, Johnny, you're from the world. So, Johnny, let me ask you a question. You're mentioning about judgment. Do you think you could judge yourself before you die to see if you're ready to go to heaven?
I don't particularly understand by how you mean judge myself. How could I judge myself when in the good book it teaches you that only God could judge you? Only nobody but God can judge you. You can't judge yourself, my man. You got to read the good word.
I studied God's word. I agree we should read the Bible, but the Bible says to examine or judge yourselves. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians 13:5. So that's the address in the Bible that you can go look right now. Go open your Bible, Johnny.
Oh, no. It also says, do not judge those unless thee want to be judged as well. I don't know what deal that was from, but it was from there. I guarantee it.
Johnny,
keep reading it. You'll find it.
Johnny.
You keep reading it. You'll find it.
Johnny, you've been drinking? Johnny, you been drinking?
Well, hell yeah, I've been drinking.
Right, and we'd ask you to refrain from your vulgar language, okay, if you want to be on the show.
I apologize for my ignorance.
Thank you. So
that's okay, buddy. We accept your apology.
Yeah, we accept your apology. We appreciate that. And so the way you can judge yourself, Johnny, is the Bible tells you to. It's ask yourself a question like, well, God, did I ever lie? And would you agree that you have, Johnny?
Did I caller, I thought this was a...
Well, what we're right now, we're talking about God's judgment, according to the Bible.
I didn't know this was a religious deal.
Well, there's one true religion, Johnny, following Jesus. You were talking about the good book a moment ago, and now you don't want to talk about the good book?
Well, I didn't realize this was a religious program that I was calling in on. Otherwise,
listen, we talk about every area of knowledge, Johnny. We talk about politics. We talk about education, medical issues. We talk about religious issues. So we're just trying to ask you a question. I'm not. If you feel like you're on the hot seat, you don't have to answer. We can go on to something else.
What?
You don't have to talk about these things if you don't want to, Johnny. Yeah, you know, we don't want to put you in a position where you don't want to talk about it. But it's interesting what you say, John. You know, I mean, I've told lies.
Yeah, I've told lies too, Johnny. And the Bible.
I apologize, fellas. I didn't realize this was a religious show. I just wanted to just come in and give y'all my thoughts on the whole Corona issue.
Yep, we agree. Uh-huh. We agree with what you're saying.
I don't want to carry on about nothing, fella.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to give y'all my interpretation of the situation. I don't want to carry on. I don't want to come over here and start talking.
You're fine.
Look, buddy. Look, man. Everybody got their own beliefs about this whole situation. I got mine. Y'all got yours.
Yeah.
What do you believe? Think about me what you want to. I think about you what I want to. I don't put them out there like that. I love everybody on Earth. Everybody on the planet Earth. I love everybody except for certain people.
So if I'm lying on the ground, I've been hit by a truck, and Johnny walks by and sees Grant.
You got hit by a truck.
Yeah, I'm lying on the ground.
You got hit by a truck.
And you walk past me, and I say, Johnny, I want to make sure I go to heaven. How do I get there? Can you help me? How do you get to heaven?
How big was the truck?
I don't want to die and go to hell. How
it depends on how big the truck was.
One last thing I'd say, Johnny, for you is that you need to sober up and you need to actually study your Bible, okay? And seek the Lord Jesus while he might be found, because your opinions about God are vastly wrong.
And how do you even know my opinions? We ain't even been talking about God.
Yeah, you were telling some things.
God several times. Yeah, you were saying several
things. I just told y'all I'm not going to talk about God because I didn't know this was a religious show. And that's when I told you, fellas, that I apologized for my ignorance. And now you're trying to tell me that I'm
not ignorant. Well, you're fine. But if you sober up and call us back, we'd love to hear from you, mate. We care about people like you.
What did I do wrong?
Let me disagree with you for a moment, Grant. I'm sorry.
Which is pretty bad.
Hey, mates, I apologize to y'all. I really do. I didn't realize this is a religious show. And I apologize for my ignorance, but I'm not going to apologize again. And I don't need to go back and look at my relationship with Jesus Christ.
You need to apologize to God, Johnny.
Pretty good with them.
I don't think you are, Johnny, actually, because you're misquoting the Bible. You have bad ideas about God.
How am I misquoting the Bible?
I was giving you a Bible verse early about 2 Corinthians 13:5. You were saying that nobody could judge but God, but that's not true. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5 to judge yourselves to see if you be in the faith that actually will save you on judgment day, Johnny. Our heart, our minds, our desires are for every person to do that. That's God's desire. But how I can temporarily judge, I'm not eternally judging you, Johnny. I can just judge what you say. And Jesus said, you know, oh boy, hang on a second. You're still there, Grant? Okay, sorry about that.
Yeah, we're all here. Yeah, no worries.
Okay. So Johnny, I was alluding to, or I was asking you to judge yourself, you know, your language. You admitted that was ignorant. You shouldn't have been speaking like that. We appreciate that. But when we asked the question, Johnny, have you ever lied? There were other questions to ask. You know, we've lied. We've admitted that already. We confess that to you, Johnny. I used to be a drunkard. I was a drunkard for 23 years, Johnny. But 25 years ago, Johnny, Jesus Christ set me free. And the way that he did that is I realized by the conviction of the Holy Ghost that I was damned as a sinner. I was condemned to hell. I was going to go to fire forever and ever. And God doesn't desire to do that to people. God does not desire the wicked to perish, but that they turn and live. So Johnny, it begs the question, turn from what? Well, we have to turn from sin, that which offends the holy God of the Bible. He's holy. He's not going to sacrifice his holiness to let us sinners come live with him. We must be born again of the Holy Spirit. You must be sanctified in our lives. When I used to speak, Johnny, before I was converted 25 years ago, every third word was a curse word. I was a sailor.
Me too.
I cursed like a sailor. Mother, blanky, blank, 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 bleepity, bleep, 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 bleep. Unintelligible. But the Lord cleansed my heart by the blood of Jesus Christ on that cross. He died for us. He died for you, Johnny. He died to clean you up from your drinking and from your potty mouth and any other sin in your life. He loved you at the cross, Johnny. It's not a religion. I mean, we're a religious show in the sense that we believe the true religion of Jesus Christ and following him. But we're not just some religious show. We talk about every area of life that is in front of us. Those the vaccines, the bad governments, all these things are in front of all of us. You understand what my heart is about that. I care about you, though I don't know you. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. It does. Yeah. I was Pentecostal.
Okay.
I understand that completely. That's exactly what they preach. I get that. Mm-hmm. And I used to walk every day up to that church. And we would pray, and I never got baptized physically, but I do know that the word that you speak is the word of not the Jesus that was here, but the word of the Spirit that he left. That is the fire of the Holy Ghost. And I get that, man. I really do. And I appreciate that. But I understand everything, man, what you were saying and the way you said it is very informative, because it was just like I used to hear the whole time I was growing up.
Why don't you come home, Johnny? Why don't you come home to the Lord?
Come home to the Lord, amen.
Well, I want to, but I can't, because
it's a hard road you're on.
I'm what you call
Christian
identity. I believe in Christian identity. I don't know if you fellas are aware of that. It's a different type of faith. And I was raised
up. The Bible talks about one faith, one baptism, Johnny, one gospel, not another gospel.
But do you believe in the physical baptism?
Well, I have no idea. I have no complaint or no objection to your idea that we should be baptized. It's a command for new believers to do that. But John the Baptist said something. There's one coming after me. He will baptize you in fire and the Holy Ghost.
Hmm.
So Pentecostals make the claim that they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, but then some of them, like yourself, are producing bad fruit that's not from the Holy Ghost.
Well, you know, when I was younger, I wanted to go to the Episcopal Church, because that was the Church of England.
That's
and
not going to help. That's
my ancestors were from England.
Mm.
And I wanted to go to the Church of England, because we was always Protestant Irish. And I couldn't like really feel God in the manner that, like, I didn't feel a connection to him.
Mm-hmm. Well, Johnny, do you think your sin separates you from God?
I don't know. honestly.
Can I offer a Bible verse to you?
Well, sure you can.
Yeah, in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, the Bible says,
Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear.
Your sin is a block to your relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's what happened to me, John. That was why God never heard my prayers. And there's a John chapter 9, verse 31, there's a verse that says it completely. And it's the Lord speaking to you, Johnny. It says, Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, he heareth. So God wants you to repent of your sins and start doing his will, which is found in the scriptures, in the Bible. And then he'll hear your prayers.
Right.
But right now, he's not hearing your prayers.
May I just
intercede here?
Oh.
Okay. I think God has heard Johnny's prayer. He has come to this tiny little first night conversation we've been having. He's heard of New Zealand, obviously. But we are just a speck compared to the rest of the world. But he has come here tonight, and you guys have given him so much, and he's wanting to accept that. And I think his prayers have been answered, and they've been answered perfectly for him.
What's that, Johnny?
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Johnny.
I was speaking to someone else.
Oh, okay. All right. I'll mute you if you like that, so you can talk to the dog.
Yeah. No, because the dog, I went to get my liquor, and then I fell down because of the dog, and I'm naked. And
oh, dear. My
wife came and says, Why are you in the floor? But okay, man. Because
John,
have
you got any parting words for Johnny?
I don't want to step on the dog to hurt it. Okay.
Well, and any parting words for Johnny?
And now I look like I'm all drunken. Excuse my language. But I don't want to look like I'm all drinking and stuff like that. But even though I am. But but it's not because of the alcohol that made me fall down. It was because I didn't want to step on the dog and hurt it. And I stepped around, and then I fell to the ground. But I handled it pretty good. And then as soon as I did that, she came out of the bedroom and says, What's the problem? And then I made up a lie. And I said, Oh, well.
So let's do
I guess it wasn't a lie. The dog really wasn't the... Anyway,
so, Johnny, as Grant was saying before, we really encourage you to repent, to really seek the Lord while he might be found, to trust him, to be sober, and to sober up and get your heart right with the Lord. So,
no, I'm good, man. I'm good, brother.
Well, thank you for ringing, Johnny. We'd love you to call us back again another time. We've got a couple of other people here that want to have a word. So, you just can listen, carry on listening if you like, but we will just take a few other calls. Is that your idea, John?
Sounds good. Yeah, sounds good.
Thank you, Johnny. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, Liz. Welcome back, Liz.
Oh, hi. Well, can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I was feeling for Johnny.
Yeah.
And he's feeling like a lot of people in this world, and I believe God sends those people to shows like this where you guys can give them some help. I just thank the Lord that Johnny got sent on tonight. It just shows you, God's arms are open to everybody. Yeah, but
let's hope he comes back and talks to us again. But it's pretty hard to have a conversation when they're intoxicated.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, Johnny. Of course. Yeah, it is pretty hard for us. It's easy for him, but it's hard for it's difficult for us to have a conversation.
Yeah, I know. I know. But
the Bible says
don't
be
too hard on him, eh? In case
well, we're just giving him the scriptures. We know hard on him the Bible is.
Yeah, yeah, but just remember.
Radio.
Are you going to get vaccinated? I think I want to wait a bit longer. What do you need to wait? I'm just not in a rush to get it, mate. Have you had it? Yeah, I've had it. Why are you being so selfish? How am I being selfish? Because if you get COVID, you can pass it on to me. But you've been vaccinated. Yeah, but I can still get it. So if I get vaccinated, I can still get it too. Yeah, but you should still get it because then you won't pass it on to me. But if I get vaccinated, I can still get it and still pass it on to you. Well, yeah, but you should still get it. But you can catch it off me whether I've been vaccinated or not. Yeah, but you should still get vaccinated. But why? Because it's the right thing to do. Who says? The people that make it.